this evening. If you open the beginning pages of your Bible and then go to Matthew, and it's nowhere near there, okay? It's at the front of your Bible in the book of Genesis. All right, did anyone not get a handout? You didn't get a lesson handout when you came in the door, but you would like to have a lesson handout. Did everyone get a handout? All right, I'll make sure everybody has a handout, and hopefully you have a pen tonight, and we'll continue our series. Let me just give you a bit of good news tonight. Last week, we had our highest attendance ever for Awanas. In the first night of Awanas, we had 83 kids in attendance. Tonight, we broke that record with 96 kids registered tonight. Yeah, let's just praise the Lord. Thank God for that. And man, we're just excited about that. And even I heard one of the teachers ask, how many did you have? They had one class, they had to split up, they had 40-some in one class, they had to split up. And he said, we're still missing six kids tonight. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know where we're going to put them. But yeah, thank the Lord, 96 kids registered tonight for Awanas. And then, there's 30, 40 workers down there, so pray for them. And pray for their upcoming blood pressure appointments, as they'll probably need some. All right, if you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter number 1, and we're going to continue our study, a survey of the Bible. And we really just want to take, and we're going to take the next 20 weeks, and we're going to look at just a summary of Scripture and really how we can get better acquainted with God's Word. To some, it's going to be kind of a refresher course. For others, it may be something that's very appetizing to you. It may be something that you really grow and learn by. And I'm doing this series not so that we can have a bunch of information, but that the Word of God can transform us so that we can be better stewards for Him and of course, learn more about Him and what God's doing in our lives. So tonight, I want to do a couple of things before we start, okay? We're going to begin tonight with a point of the of our lesson handout that's not on there. I want you to write down some key scriptures tonight. So, in just a moment, I'll give you those scriptures. Tonight, we're going to deal with that of creation. All right. So last week was introduction. This week is creation. And you can see, you probably can't see because they're so small, but we're going to go through, we're going to take 20 lessons, 20 different things out of the Bible. And we're going to kind of study these and learn these and really survey the whole scripture with the Lord's help. Tonight, we're going to talk about creation. Now, I want you to write down some key scriptures tonight that'll be important. This is not in your notes, okay? But I want you to write these key scriptures down so that will be helpful for you this evening, all right? So write these scriptures down if you would. The first scripture is Genesis chapter 1:1-2. We find that already on the page. Somewhere on your page, I want you to write this other scripture down, and that is Exodus chapter number 20 in verse number 11. Exodus chapter 20 in verse number 11. And then I want you to write down Colossians 1 and verse 16, and then Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Now, these scriptures we're going to go ahead and look at, but I want you to kind of take notice of these scriptures because these are the foundation of the whole message tonight. If we were to look at God's Word, we know that these scriptures tell us something about creation and really the overview of what creation is. So we're going to look at these scriptures tonight. So the first scripture, let's start there. Let's bypass Genesis chapter 1 and 2 because that's what will be the rest of the night. Go to Exodus chapter 20 and look at verse number 11 if you would. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 11. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 11. Obviously, this is a passage of scripture that's familiar to most believers because of the Ten Commandments. In verse number 11 of Exodus chapter 20, here's what the Bible says. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now he's making a point about the Sabbath day, but specifically along with that point, he reiterates the truth about creation, and that is, in 6 days, God created the earth. And we'll say more about that in just a moment. But Exodus chapter 20 is a key verse in dealing with creation. Now, if you go to the New Testament and find Colossians chapter number 1 quickly, again, just trying to lay a foundation for what we're going to study tonight, Colossians chapter 1. And for those of you who know people who maybe believe differently about creation, this is a good opportunity to take some notes, write some Bible verses down, and encourage those folks, maybe that believe a little bit different, in the things of God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 16. Look at this verse with me if you would. It'll also be on the screen tonight. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Now notice this last phrase. All things were created by Him and for Him. So again, we have another reiteration from a different author. The Apostle Paul writes that He created all things. Now the specific list is not as important as the last phrase, that He created everything. And then one last scripture tonight, and that's Hebrews chapter 11. And then the scriptures that we'll give you this evening will kind of go from that point. Hebrews chapter 11, and would you look at that with me, please? And find verse number 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let's read that again. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Let me stop right here for a moment. How many were here when the world was created? All right, good. That's good. Now you, nobody was here. All right? Those first two words, through faith, I personally believe it takes more faith to believe something other than creationism, than believe God created the heavens and the earth, than it does to believe in creation. But the Bible says through faith, we believe in faith. We believe the fact what Jesus has written or has told us in His Word. Now, we're going to survey Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, so we're going to read a lot of scriptures. We won't start there tonight. Let's write some primary events of creation. What's really the two primary things that we can write down about creation? Write down number one, if you would, in the first blank. We can write down first primary event is the literal six-day creation. The literal six-day creation. So if we are going to write one of the main events of creation, and that is that God literally created what we see, what we have, in 6 days. In fact, Exodus chapter 20 talks about that. In 6 days, He created all these things. Let me just say this quickly. This isn't a spiritualized passage. This isn't some parable. This isn't some figurative story. Jesus, God Almighty, literally created the earth in 6 days. And the Bible says on the seventh day, He rested. So primary event number one in creation is that in 6 days He created the heavens and the earth, of course, all that are in the earth. Number two, primary event number two, we find the institution of the family. The institution of the family. Involved in the creation, we find God creating man and woman. And there's where we find those famous verses that a man so shall leave a father and mother and cleave one to another. They shall be one flesh. They're instituting marriage and family. And God established that and created that. These two are the primary events of what happened during the creation period. Again, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. Now, don't turn to these passages of scriptures, but Ephesians chapter 3 talks about how He created all things. Psalm chapter 8 and verse number 5 also talks about that we are created by Him. Now, the second thing I want to go to tonight as we survey creation, it is this, the major teaching of creation. What are the major teaching of creation? What can we learn from creation on a very top scale? Number one, write this down if you would, that God is the creator of all things. There's your first blank. God is the creator of all things. You understand this tonight, that no one else or nothing else, not you, not me, no other person, that God Almighty created all things. That is a major teaching of creation. If you ever hear anything different other than God creating the heavens and the earth, it is a false teaching. It is a false teacher. It is wrong. So, the major teaching of creation, God created everything. Number two, here's another major teaching point of creation. Mankind is the crowning jewel of God's creation. Mankind is the crowning jewel of God's creation. Now, we all understand God made the heavens and the earth, and God made the fish, and God made the animals. But God's desire, more than anything, was to have fellowship with man. God created man as His crowning jewel. In fact, listen to this verse, Psalm chapter 8, verse number 5, "For Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor." Here's another verse, Isaiah chapter 43. Don't turn there, but let me read it for you. I think this will help you understand about we are created as His jewel. Isaiah 43, verse number 7. "Even everyone that is called by my name," watch this, "for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." So, two major teachings of creation is that God created all things and that God created man as His jewel, as His prized possession, as something that He loves and admires and cherishes, and we'll talk more about that in just a moment. Now, number three, quickly, as we talk again by way of introduction and creation, let's talk about some false teachings that are refuted by the belief of creation. By the very fact of creation, there's some things that we can refute. Number one, write this down. It was God that created. It was God that created. This refutes atheism. It was God that created. This refutes atheism. Many of you know what atheism is. It is just a rejection and a belief of the existence of any deities. In a narrower sense, atheism is specifically the position that there are no gods. No God, no gods. There is no deity. In fact, atheism is the absence of belief that any deity exists. So those who say, "I'm an atheist," they say, "There is no God." Well, creation says, "There is a God." Because God created the heavens and the earth. Back to what I said just a few moments ago, I believe it takes more faith to believe that something came out of nothing than God spoke His Word and then created the heavens and the earth. Now think about that. Something came from nothing. That order came from chaos. I mean, that takes unbelievable amount of faith. But I believe with all my heart that God spoke the world into existence, thus proving the fact that atheism is a false teaching that God created the heavens and the earth. Number two, another false teaching I want you to write down. There was only one God that created. There was only one God that created. And this refutes polytheism. Polytheism is just a worship or a belief in multiple gods. It is assembled usually as gods or goddesses or people along with other religions and other rituals. Again, this is a type of theology that our world is believing today, and that is not just one God, but there are many gods. In fact, creation would teach us that not two gods or three gods or many gods or a number of gods, but that only one God created the heavens and the earth, not many. They're not other gods. In fact, I'm not apologetic when I say that there is only one way to God the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ His Son. Not apologetic about that at all. The fact of the matter is there is one God, and the fact that God Himself, one God, created the heavens and the earth refutes the fact that there are many gods. And the third area of false teaching I'd like to address tonight is this. The Creator was separate from His creation. The Creator was separate from His creation. This refutes pantheism. This refutes pantheism. Pantheism, many may not know what this is, and some may. Pantheism simply is just belief that the universe is identical with deity. In other words, that everything that you see in the earth is all-encompassing with God, that it is the same. Pantheists do not believe in a distinct personal God, but they believe that the earth or the things here on this earth is equal with God. We understand that God is not the earth. God created the earth. And I believe we can see His character. I believe we can see His essence in everything. But He is God Almighty that created the earth, that created the mountains and the seas. He created all things. Tonight, as we think about these things, may our heart and may our mind understand the truth about creation. Now let's get into our main subject tonight, and that is God's purpose for man. Genesis chapter 1, this is where we're going to be tonight. And I want you to write the first thing down for God's purpose of man, and that is this. Man was created in the image of God. Write that down if you would. Man was created in the image of God. So, as we survey the Scriptures, the first thing that we must notice tonight, and that is in creation, man was created in the image of God. Now, go with me, if you would, Genesis chapter number 2 now, and find your place. Well, in fact, go to Genesis chapter 1. Excuse me, we'll go to chapter 2 in just a moment. Genesis chapter 1, look in the Bible, says in verse number 27. Well, go to verse 26. I'm sorry, I'm taking you all over the place. Well, just go to 25. No, just go to 26, all right? I'm just messing with you. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. The image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. Now think about this for a moment. That when God created man, in His image. Go to chapter 2 and verse number 7 quickly. Let's look at another passage of Scripture. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." The word "formed" is an important word, meaning that God, in His wisdom and authority, that He molded and manipulated according to His image, man formed. That in His divine wisdom, He created man into His image. In fact, I heard one preacher say, it was almost as if God was looking into a mirror and said, "I'm creating man into my image." That's why there is no one on this earth that should be ashamed of the way that God made you, or how you look, or the distinctions about you or your body. Why? Because God made us in His image. He made us in His image. Sometimes we like to believe and think, well, God created the mountains, what a masterpiece. God created the sea, what a masterpiece. And we go and we glare and we stare and we say, what masterpieces He created. But the greatest masterpiece of His creation was you and I. I'm not bragging on myself right now. I'm just saying we're all His masterpieces. We're created in His image. Genesis chapter 9, verse number 6, "And whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made He man." That's why it is not our objective to hurt man. That's why it should not be objective to ruin man. Why? Because we are made in the very image of God. What a great truth tonight about the purpose of man in creation, that we're created in the very distinct image of Almighty God. Next time you get to questioning about how God made you, think of that word "formed," and how God, in His wisdom, formed you individually and specifically. You know that verse that I love? For we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Think about that. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. That God in His wisdom and His power and His awesomeness created us individually. With different personalities and different traits and different attributes. Man, we're all different. Thank God to that. But He created us in His image. Second thing I want you to write down for the purpose of man that we can learn in creation. Number two, man was created to worship God. Man was created to worship God. You have your Bibles. Let's look at a couple scriptures tonight. Notice what the Bible says, if you would. We'll begin in Genesis chapter 1 and then we'll go to Genesis chapter 2 again. Look what the Bible says. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. He, him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and everything that moveth upon the earth. And again He talked about the food. Look at verse 31. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now we'll go to Genesis chapter 2 in just a moment. God created man in such a way that He looked at man and He said, boy, that's good. Not just man, but the things of the earth. And He said, that's good. Do you remember one scripture in the New Testament? The Bible says that Jesus told that if we don't praise Him, that something else will. Do you know what will cry out? The stones or the rocks will cry out. So in other words, what He's saying there is that we are intended, that our natural intention for creation was to bring honor and worship and glory to Almighty God. That's what the Bible says, that we are to bring glory. That's what Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 7 says. I read just a few moments ago. It said that we are created for His glory. Now think about this tonight. We are created to worship Him. Now, I do want you to turn to one passage of Scripture, and that's Psalm 150. Psalm 150. I think you all know the verse, but I think it's good for us to look at it. Psalm 150, the 150th Psalm, the very last Psalm of the book of Psalms. Notice what the Bible says. Verse number 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. All right, we're going to take a test tonight. Who's breathing? Slip your hand up if you're breathing. All right, is anyone not breathing? Could you slip your hand up? All right, we need to get some people, these teenagers over here, to get them breathing again. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now, if you look at that verse, you would say, well, that means as long as I have breath. The Bible says that God breathed through His nostrils, that God breathed through His nostrils the breath of life. Now, think about this with me for a moment. That the breath that He breathed in our nostrils was not only a breath of life, was the breath for us to worship Him in all His glory. In fact, we read this verse last Sunday night in our prophecy series, Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11. Listen to this. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Revelation 4, verse number 11. Watch this. For Thou hast created all things. Watch this. And for Thy pleasure they are and were created. It is God's intention when He formed man in His image, not just to make a masterpiece, but to make that masterpiece a desire to worship Him and to bring Him honor and to bring Him glory. The question we would say tonight is this: do we bring honor? Do we worship our Creator? God has made us to worship. He created us to worship Him. This is what I believe. I believe there's a void in every person. I believe there's a void in every person who has yet to meet Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I believe they're missing something. And I believe that that's something they try with all these different things. But when you understand that we're created to worship Him, and when we gather in our minds the truth that God created us to bring back to Him glory and honor, it begins to make sense. We were created in His image. We were created to worship Him. Number three, God's purpose for man in creation is this. Man was created to fellowship with God. Man was created to fellowship with God. Genesis chapter 2 gives us what we know of as a story of creation's beauty. Adam and Eve. What an awesome story. God gave them the Garden of Eden, and He began to lay down the framework of how they were to live and how they are to enjoy one another and the blessings of this earth. God instructed them that. I believe with all my heart that God made man, and we'll talk Scripture in just a moment, but God made man not that they would fellowship with each other, but that their fellowship would be with Him. The Bible talks about in Genesis chapter number 3 that something happened. I'm not going to blame it on you women or anything, but the Bible says that Adam and Eve messed up, right? They messed up. Look what the Bible says, if you would, in verse 22 of Genesis chapter 3. Let's take notation of something. Genesis 3, verse 22. Look at this. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and yet live forever." Verse 23, watch this. "Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden." Now stop there for a moment. This is a literal story that we understand happened. But this is also a great spiritual analogy to understand God's intention for man and then the sin and the results and the consequences of sin. God created Adam and Eve in the garden, and boy, what fellowship, what joy, what peace, what love. And that is representative of the love that God has for us and that we should have with Him and the fellowship that they enjoyed. And then sin. And God says, out. The exact wording that the King James uses is this: sent him forth from. In other words, I cannot fellowship with you like this. My intention was to fellowship with you in harmony and in perfection. No more. Of course, we understand this paved the way that God would send His Son to restore the fellowship between mankind. And that bridge, so to speak, as you've seen the picture illustration, was laid across with the cross, and God restored with fellowship to man. Would you go to a passage of Scripture with me in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want you to look 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll take note of one verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, look at the beginning verses with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse number 9. Again, the Apostle Paul addressing the church at Corinth here, the Corinthian believers, and he's addressing them about, he's thanking God for what He's doing for them. Verse number 9, though, we'll pick that up there. "God is faithful," watch this, "by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." The Bible says that they were called. That word "called" has the same idea. It's not the same definition. It's not the same word, but it has the same idea of creation or created, meaning that it was intended. and meaning that you were intended to fellowship with Jesus Christ. In fact, don't turn there, but 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3 talks about that God intends for us to fellowship with Him. Now, God intended for us to fellowship with Him, to have fellowship with mankind that was broken by Adam and Eve's sin. The Bible said God sent them from the Garden of Eden, kind of breaking that fellowship. That's why we have verses such as, if I regard iniquity in my heart, He will not hear me. Broken fellowship. Now, let me just quickly say this. A child of God can have broken fellowship with God, but your relationship with God never changes. Do you understand that? A relationship. My mom and dad will always be my mom and dad. I cannot change who my parents are. I was born to my mom and dad. My relationship will never change, but my fellowship can change with them. And that's the direct result of Adam and Eve. God intended for sweet, perfect, harmonized fellowship. There soon God cast them forth from the Garden of Eden. And that's exactly how we should worship Him and fellowship with Him in that harmony. Number four, quickly tonight, God's purpose for man and creation. Number four, man was created for service to God. Man was created for service to God. Genesis chapter 2, notice what the Bible says in verse number 15, if you're there. Genesis 2 and verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. In 2014 vernacular, that means mow your grass, and that means weed eat Troy, and that means keep up your garden, to dress it and keep it. God intended for man to serve Him in this area. Now, this is a greater truth to say God desires of our service. Now, think about Adam and Eve. This was a perfect day in a perfect area, in perfect service for God. But God intended them for them to work or to serve. God intends for all of us to serve Him. Psalm 100 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." It's imperative that we serve. The Bible says it is required in steward that a man be found faithful, or a servant, that a man serve or be found in faithfulness in his service. Psalm 102, verse number 22, when the people are gathered together in the kingdoms, they are to serve the Lord. In fact, serving should be the very instinct of who we are created to be. Why? Because when we get to heaven, guess what we're going to be doing? Not just praising and worshiping, but Revelation chapter 22, verse number 3 says this, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him." You know what we should be doing here? We should be doing what we're created to do, and that is serve the Lord. We're created to serve Him. Number five tonight, what can we understand through creation about God's purpose for man? Number five, man was given authority from God. Man was given authority from God. Here's another good truth tonight that I think sometimes gets lost in the shuffle of our day and age. And this is not some kind of pound our chest kind of authority. And this, you know, man here is a term that I'm using for humanity. But God's given authority to man over the earth. Look at verse number 19. Genesis chapter 2 in verse number 19. "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living thing, every living creature, that was the name thereof." You could also go to other passages of scriptures. Psalm chapter 8 said all things are under His feet, speaking of man. Think about this for a moment, that God intended for the environment, for our land to be managed and to be under the authority of man. In fact, Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 10, "The righteous man regardeth the life of his beast," understanding that man has the, not just the ability, but man has the God-given authority over all that is in the land. Go back to Genesis chapter 1 quickly. Look what the Bible says. Look what the Bible says in verse 24. We'll read a few verses here. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind. It was so. God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Okay, there we have the creation of everything that we have on the earth, as in every living creature and creeping thing. But continue reading with me, if you would. And God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. Watch this. And let them have, what? Dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Again, direct orders from God Almighty in creation. This is where we understand the purpose of man. God's given us authority over the land. Now, not only do we have authority here for the land, but the Bible says the creeping things. I know some of our extremists today would like to say that, you know, there's harmful things to the earth and all these things. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be, you know, green. I'm not saying that we shouldn't live in such a way to take care of our land. Don't get me wrong. But we need to be very clear about this. God gave man the authority in this sense, and he gave them dominion, which is that authority over the earth. We understand our purpose that way. Last of all tonight, quickly, one last thing I would like to give you. God's purpose for man in creation is this. Man's family life came from God. Man's family life came from God. If you're in Genesis chapter 2, we'll wrap things up here tonight. Look what the Bible says in verse 21. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Here we have the institution of the family. Now, you want to know God's purpose for your life. In the sense of creation, here's a great purpose. Well, God's given you a family. God's blessed you with a husband or a wife. If God's blessed you with a child or children, boy, what a great lesson to learn in creation that we have a purpose on this earth. Adam's purpose was now not just to glorify or worship God. It was to be the best he could be to now his wife, that woman named Eve. So people ask me all the time, Brother John, I just don't know what my purpose is in life. People ask me that question. They have a family. They have a husband, or they have a wife, or they have kids. And I say, you know what the direct purpose for your life is right now? Why don't you be the best father you can be? Why don't you be the best dad you can be? Why don't you be the best mom or the best husband or the best wife you can be to the glory of God? I don't think this thing is all confusing as we make it out to be. We can understand from the very basic truth of creation. God created the family. And the family is of extreme importance. Can I say this? The family was here before the church. Now, I'm not saying that just because there's family things, you can put aside God's church and the things of God. All I'm saying this, that just means to me, the priority of the family in our eyes should be the way it is in God's eyes, and that's of high, high importance. It's difficult for me to say, but I wish I could spend all my days with my family. I'm sure you would echo with that. I wish I could spend all the days with my kids. When I came over before church, I went home to take a shower and get ready and all that stuff. That's why I needed that mint, but I forgot to brush my teeth, Brother Jim. But I'm going to put it in just a minute. But there was a note on my counter, and it was a story. It was a letter that Brooklyn wrote, and I guess it was for a class assignment or something, and she was just describing her family. And the first person she started to describe was me. I won't tell you what she said. She said, "My dad is the best dad in the world." That's right. And then she said, "He is the funniest person in the world." Then she said, "He is the best pastor in the world." And her reason why is because he preaches good services. Now, some of you need to take some notes from Brooklyn. He preaches some good services. And then she said, "I am like him, and he is like me." I was thinking about that for a second. Boy, God created the family. But think about this. God created my kids, sadly to say, like me. That's going to be difficult for them growing up, but like me. But of course, in his image. And God has given us the opportunity to have family. A mom or a dad. You know what? And if your parents are still alive, well, you ought to thank God and you ought to bless the Lord and spend time with them and talk to them as much as you can, because there will be a time when you won't see them on this earth again. Same way with our children, our brothers and sisters. In the truth, the belief of creation, we understand that we're created in the very image of God, that we're formed, that we're in His divine skill and wisdom. We are made in His likeness. We understand that man was created to worship God, that we will never fulfill a genuine purpose for our life until we understand that we are to worship Him. Man was created to fellowship with God, to have connection with God, to have an intimate relationship with God. Man was created to serve God. That God gave to man a desire to do something greater than man himself, to be a part of something greater than himself, to serve God. In creation, we understand man was given authority from God. And then we understand from creation that man's family life came from God. You say, "Brother John, what do I need to know about the Bible? This will shape your view of the rest of the Scriptures." Now, I'm not trying to identify here any kind of chronological order of Scripture. All I'm here today to say, this will shape the rest of your view of Scripture and of God, is this thought. He is the Creator of all things. Period. He created all things. If you have a struggle with God creating all things, again, we're diluting much, if not all, of what else He says to us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 3. "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God." Let's pray. Father, thank You so much tonight that we learn through Scripture. Thank You tonight, Lord, that we can understand a little bit about creation. And God, first and foremost, that You created everything. And God, that we are Your masterpiece, that You made us in Your image. God, help us to learn some of these principles tonight through creation about the purpose of man. Thank You, Lord, that we can learn tonight and we can be taught through the Holy Spirit. I pray through the survey of these Scriptures over the next 20 weeks, God, You would help us. Help us to grow. Help us to learn. Help us to find truth inside the pages tonight. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, let's all stand tonight. We'll be dismissed.